Hi, Mac from Mac's List here. Today's episode is brought to you by JobScan, the online tool that optimizes your resume and boosts your chances of landing an interview. JobScan also offers a 10% discount to our listeners. To learn more, visit jobscan.co/dreamjob. Now, let's start the show. This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps professionals find fulfilling careers. I believe that lifelong learning is the key to a successful career. And to get a better job, you need to learn the job hunting skills that will help you find the role of your dreams. That's why we're here today. Every week on Find Your Dream Job, I interview a different career expert. We discuss the tools and tactics you need to find the work you want. This week, I'm talking to Michelle Neal about why interviewing is a two-way street. Michelle Neal helps people get ready for job interviews. And she says too many applicants think they're in the room just to answer questions. The most successful candidates Michelle sees treat a job interview as a two-way street. These applicants interview the hiring manager and everyone else they meet at the company. Michelle encourages you to listen carefully to what people say, especially if you get conflicting answers. And she says you should always trust your gut. If the job feels like it might be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, it probably is. Want to learn more? Listen in now at the Mac's List Studio as I talk with Michelle Neal about why interviewing is a two-way street. Michelle Neal is a career coach and the owner of Consulting with Integrity. Her passion is helping people become successful through strategic coaching. Michelle uses her talents of honesty, openness, and empathy to guide individuals to a successful outcome. She joins us today in person here in the Mac's List Studio in Portland, Oregon. Michelle, thanks for making the trip downtown.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I hope you didn't have any problems finding parking or making your way through the traffic.
It's downtown Christmas time, of course.
It is a little busy out there, and though this episode won't air until February, you know, it's the holidays are always kind of crazy.
Yes.
Well, we're talking today about why candidates need to treat job interviews as a two-way street. And Michelle, why do you recommend applicants don't just stick to answering an interviewer's question? Because sometimes people walk into that room and they think, well, I'm here just to answer your questions, and I'll do my best, and then we're done. Why isn't that a good approach?
Because you need to feel comfortable with the organization that you're going to be working with, just like they need to be comfortable with you. And it is important for you to dig in and dig in deep, because a lot of people have jobs or have been in jobs where you actually did not ask questions. You got into the job and it was nothing like you thought it would be. And so I think it is important that it's a two-way street. They're interviewing you just like you're interviewing them. And it's important to know that.
So you're not only a seller, you're there to sell yourself as a candidate, but you're also a buyer, aren't you, Michelle?
Yes, yes, yes.
Why do people kind of struggle with that? Because again, I think most people walk into the room wanting to please, and that's where they stop. Why do they do that, Michelle?
I think there's a couple of reasons. I think if you've been unemployed for a while because of no reason on your own, you know, a RIF or a restructure, it can be a shock. And then you are desperate because you want to have a job and you don't want to offend people. I think when you are looking for a job, even when you have a job, it's the same thing. You don't want to offend people, but you also don't necessarily understand your worth. and you think, well, I'm only able to do the job that I currently have or I've had, and I don't necessarily deserve to ask the questions I need to because I don't want them to judge me.
I know from our conversation before we started the interview, you do a lot of work with people who have been lost a job rather through reduction in force or layoffs. And so people in that situation, they're hurting, aren't they? And that affects how they might approach the interview, doesn't it?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I was telling you earlier, I did a training today and I had a gentleman who is my client say to me, I've never had this happen. I've been working for 35 years at the same company and I'm suffering from anxiety because I've never had this happen. So these things, these people are suffering and it can affect them physically, emotionally, mentally. It's a shock.
So you need to, when you go into that room, however, whatever your circumstances, whether you have a job and you're doing a search and looking for your next position, or you've lost a job and you need to find that next gig, you do need to think about what's in it for you, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you definitely need to, because if you don't and you get stuck in a situation that doesn't have the things that you need, sometimes it's hard to get out of that situation. And it can really perpetuate in the feelings and the bitterness, and you get stuck. And we've all been in the position where, because of whatever circumstances, you're sort of stuck there, and you're stuck, and it's hard to get out of it. And sometimes it is because you didn't ask the questions and peel back the onion to really get down and dirty to what is actually happening in the organization.
Well, what would you say to listeners who worry that they might offend a hiring manager by interviewing the manager, basically asking lots and lots of questions?
I say don't be afraid to ask the questions and don't worry about offending. I know when I hired people, the people who asked me the deep questions and challenged me were the ones that I was impressed with, because it showed me that they not only were interested in the job, but that they were looking at a holistically, and that they were interested in me, my team, the organization's culture. And it wasn't just, okay, here's my job duties and that's all I'm interested in.
So it won't hurt an applicant's chances to interview the hiring manager, ask these kind of questions. It actually helps.
I think it completely helps. I think, asking the questions that a hiring manager isn't expecting, and definitely in a respectful manner, of course, can put you at the top of the list, because they really remember, they asked me a question that I really had to think about.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how you get ready before you walk into the interview room. How do you recommend, Michelle, that a candidate prepare to interview a hiring manager?
First of all, you need to have all your questions typed, no matter what. When you go in, you should have your questions typed. It's not something that you pull from the air. I think you ask yourself, what are the deep questions you want answered before you leave the interview? So whatever your top three are, you need to be able. By the time you get to a hiring manager, I like to say it's really about fit. They know what your resume is. You know what you're good at. It's whether or not you fit, that you fit in their team, or whether or not they fit with you and your needs. And so I think that it's just really important that you have those kind of questions that, really test the person. And what do you need? If work-life balance is important to you, you need to ask questions about work-life balance. If conflict is important to you and how do they handle conflict, that's something you need to ask. And a lot of people don't think of these things. Question I say for people to ask to managers is not what's your management style, but what are your management values?
Now, tell me more about that, the difference between those two questions. How does that help a candidate understand an organization and the manager?
Well, style, lots of people say, oh, I'm a great communicator, open door, blah, 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 and it's never a fact. Values, it really stands out of what the quote-unquote they value as a person, whether it's individually or in their organization. So I always say to people, like, for me, respect is my number one thing. I expect to give respect to you as an employee. I expect respect to me as your employer. And it tells you a lot about a person. If a person can't tell you what they stand for, then you might want to question that. And also it shows that they're not very self-aware, which, you know, that's another topic.
We could do a show on that one, I'm sure. Now, I want to step back for a moment because you touched on something that I think it's important to call out for listeners. And that is your point about how people who get interviews, they've proven that they have the technical skills. Mm-hmm. And I think that should give candidates a lot of confidence knowing that when they walk in the room, shouldn't it?
It should. And I try to tell all my clients, and when I do trainings, they know. They know you're the person they want to interview from your resume. The key is getting in the door from the resume. Once you get in the door, it truly is about fit. And they may ask you some questions, but the behavioral questions, it's about fit. How do you handle this? It's, you know, they don't really ask you questions unless you're in technical field. Okay, do this problem and work this out. Otherwise than that, it really is asking, having a conversation with one another, and do you click? And I know from hiring in my life, it really, by the time they were screened from my staff and everything and they got to me, it really was whether or not I liked the person.
You mentioned several questions people might ask when talking to a hiring manager to figure out if it's a good fit for them as a candidate, mm-hmm. including work-life balance. How do you recommend people pick those questions? What process can they go through, Michelle, to make sure they're touching on the things that are most important to them?
I think it's important to sit down, like when you're ready to do your accomplishments and such to prepare, that you sit down and you make really a list. What is important to me with a job? And a lot of people I work with, they're the latter part of their careers or mid-career. Okay, what's important to you now moving forward? You know, a lot of people do say, like I said before, work-life balance. Okay, if that's on your list, let's formulate a question that deals with that. You know, if it's not, if it's important that you are respected and that's your number one, well, then you need to ask some type of question that gets to that. So it's really about you sitting back and asking yourself, what do I need in this job? And what do I need from this hiring manager? And what do I need from this team?
And I'm curious, I got to ask, besides respect and work-life balance, which I expect come up a lot when you work with people to identify those top three or five values, what are, say, three more that keep coming up again and again in your conversations, things that matter to candidates they ask hiring managers about?
Well, as I said, respect, accountability is mm-hmm. something, and trust.
Okay.
That's a big one, is trust.
Those are good. Yeah,
that comes up and, you know, wondering. And a lot of times trust comes because they've had an experience where there wasn't a lot of trust. So they want to know, can I trust this? Trust you? Are you going to support me? Are you going to be held accountable for things that you haven't followed up with? So,
okay. Well, I want to talk more about how to ask these questions. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Michelle Neal will continue to share her advice on how you can turn the tables in your next job interview and make interviewing a two-way street. I'm a big fan of writing a custom resume for every job. Here's why. A unique resume lets you describe your most relevant skills in the language that matters to each employer. And that can help you get past a company's applicant tracking system. But it takes time to do this. Fortunately, there's a tool that can help. JobScan compares your resume to a job description, and then it suggests keywords to make your application stand out. With JobScan, your resume is more likely to reach the hiring manager, and you're more likely to get the interviews and the job offers you want. JobScan offers a 10% discount to our listeners. To get it, go to jobscan.co/dreamjob. Again, that's jobscan.co/dreamjob. We're back in the MaxList studio, and I'm talking with Michelle Neal. She's a career coach, and she owns the company Consulting with Integrity. Michelle joins us in person today in the MaxList studio in Portland, Oregon. Michelle, before the break, we were talking about why candidates need to make job interviews a two-way street, and we were talking about some of the questions they might ask, particularly about values. And I know from reading your articles on LinkedIn and on your website, you're a big believer in asking questions in the right way, because sometimes you can ask a general question about values and you get information that's not very useful, is it? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to ask these kinds of questions? What do you recommend listeners do?
I think, well, first you need to read the room and read the person. If the person doesn't seem open enough to want to go a little further, we've all been in interviews where it's been cut and dry and that's it. You don't go any further. But if it's something where it's definitely they've opened up the door for you to ask questions, I think you ask the question always in a respectful manner and you put it in a way that you're being curious, but you're, again, not disrespecting them, but you're wanting to be enlightened as, I'm interested in this job. I'm interested in this organization, but I have my needs, and am I going to be able to get these things fulfilled, or am I going to have a chance to? Because sometimes it's not all there, but you may have the opportunity to have it, and it's important for you to, you know, dig deep. And that's individually, you know, I'm somebody who digs deep, but there's some people who will just stop at a one word answer. And I try to tell people if that's the case, you got to live with whatever the response is.
Okay. So read the room, be respectful and be curious. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, often in an interview process, you might meet a hiring manager. Well, let's step back, actually. When do you recommend people start asking these questions, Michelle? Because as you know, you've done your share of hiring, and now you work with people who are going through hiring processes. It might start with a phone screener, and then you might meet with one person, perhaps in HR, and then maybe a panel discussion. And then they might take you around the department and have you have coffee or even lunch with people. How do you recommend people interview others as they go through, and when do they start? Should they start quizzing someone during a phone screener at the very beginning of the process?
No. The only time I'd say you start at the beginning and you continue throughout the process is with work-life balance.
Okay.
That's the one question. To me, it's important to get it from all levels.
Okay. Tell me why that's important.
Because
with that question.
If that's important to you, and I had somebody say that was important to them today, and you start with the HR person, and they give you the, you know, 30,000 square feet, you know, okay, this is what the culture is, this is how we handle work-life balance, and you're like, okay, that's what they say. That's the marketing. Then you need to go to the hiring manager, ask how they are, because the hiring manager may not have the same viewpoint as the company does with work-life balance.
And you may never meet the HR person again if it's a large company.
Yes. And, yeah. And then the team. And I always say, can you give me an example? So I say from the HR person, give me an example of how you deal with work-life balance. Same thing with the hiring manager. Same thing with the team. Because you will find out if they truly value that. So that's with that. I say, okay. Go with everybody.
And you're listening for examples like, so-and-so is going to graduate school, so therefore they have a flexible schedule.
Yes.
So-and-so needed an extra month of parental leave, another person had to take time off to care for a parent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the people who tell you we have a Kager.
That's not work-life balance.
That's not work-life balance.
Okay.
But there are people who say that. also, so that's that group. And then, you know, conflict is something that I say you should talk to the hiring manager and the team. So how does the team handle conflict? And a lot of people say, oh, we don't have conflict. Everybody has conflict. And how does the hiring manager deal with conflict? How do they deal with your team having conflict? Are they an avoider? Are they somebody who's very directive? What are they like? Those are, to me, two important things to know. Then there's just things with the team to just ask, how do you deal with workflow? That's more of the job, the actual job. And the same thing with the hiring manager. Okay, what are some questions dealing with the job? But I do think for the soft skills and that getting down dirty, you need to ask other questions besides, oh, so what's the first 30, 60, 90 days expectations? Although that tells a lot as well. You know, if you have somebody who says, well, my first 30 days, you need to be up and running, and it's a totally different industry you've ever been in, that says something to you.
Okay.
You know, can you do it?
Yeah. Now, what happens, Michelle, as you work your way through the process, you're talking to different people, and you start getting conflicting responses. How do you manage that information? What do you do next?
Run.
Okay. Tell me why.
Run. I think it's especially with the hiring manager and the team.
Yeah.
If you get conflicting responses, listen to the team, because they're the ones doing the work and they're the ones that are there all the time and interacting with each other. And a lot of times there are managers who are completely clued out as to what's going on with their team. So if you have conflicting, and you and I talked about this, if you go in and the manager says, oh my goodness, this is great, we're a great team, or this and that, and you go in and you meet the team and they are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and they're just not right, leave. Just, it's okay to not take the job.
It's hard sometimes for people to do that, isn't it, Michelle? Because they fall in love with the mission of the organization, or maybe it's a company or a nonprofit where they've always dreamed of working, and they're getting that conflicting information. And sometimes do you find that they think, well, I can work through it. Does that happen?
Oh, that happens all the time, where people think I can change the situation, and you can't. You know, and because you can't change people, and especially if people aren't happy in their work, you can't change that. And what ends up happening is you end up getting tainted and you end up getting bitter, and it just is not healthy. It's not a healthy environment. So, you know, it's okay, but I think people have to give themselves permission. I do have to say, the longer somebody's unemployed, the harder that becomes.
Yeah.
Because people are starting to get frantic and scared, and, you know, I just need to get a job. And so I'm okay with taking going away from my gut.
Yeah.
And just taking a job.
So you recommend people trust their gut?
Oh, I'm all about the gut.
Okay.
Believe, and I don't think a lot of people do that. You know, I think if it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, I guarantee if they're supposed to be on their best behavior with you in an interview and they're not, that's the way they are day to day.
Okay. And I have to say, on a personal note, I've had some wonderful jobs. There was one position I took. It was a communications director's position, and they'd hired 5 communications directors in 5 years. Yeah. And I knew it was going to be bad,
mm-hmm.
but I'd been out of work for 7 months,
mm-hmm.
and I took the position. I was just a few weeks away from cashing my last pay unemployment check,
mm-hmm.
and it was bad. And I sympathize with the people who have bills to pay and walk in to a position like that. There were ways I managed it, and that's what we're here to talk about today. But and you can get through it. But I agree. My gut was telling me not to do it, and I think I just want to affirm your point that we should listen to our instincts.
Yeah.
Are there questions you recommend people don't ask hiring managers or members of the team as you're interviewing for a position?
Oh my God. The worst one is, you know, how much am I going to get paid? And even it doesn't matter how many years people have been in the workforce, people ask that question.
Okay, let me just draw you out though. Why is that a bad question?
In the interview, the final interview, what's bad about that is what that shows the hiring manager is that you don't care about the actual job. And you don't care about the organization. You don't care about being successful. You just are there for a paycheck. And sometimes that's a fact, but you don't put that out there. You also, anything regarding time off, this is all stuff that you talk to the HR person about. You don't talk to the hiring manager about this.
So you wait until there's an offer on the table.
You wait until there's an offer. And, you know, because what that does is it automatically shuts somebody down. It really says to that person, okay, that's all you're thinking about. You're not thinking about being productive here. And, you know, people, I like to say people are not that evolved, but people want to feel like you care about them,
yeah,
and not necessarily a job. And so during that time period, you have to show you care about them. And so those are questions that I don't think you should ask at all.
Okay.
And I know if I was hiring somebody and they asked me that question, it would be click, you're not coming back.
We want to avoid that if it's a job we want. Well, Michelle, tell us what's next for you. This has been a great conversation.
What's next for me is expanding my outreach to helping people throughout every stage of your career transition and coaching you to be successful. I like to say I start from entry to exit and everything in between. And that's, I want to just continue doing something that I love and helping people that want to be helped.
Great. Well, I know people can learn more about you and your services, Michelle, by visiting your website. That's consultingintegrity.com. We'll be sure to include that URL in the show notes and the website article that appears on the MaxList site. Michelle, thanks for coming to the studio today.
Thank you so much, Mac.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
Thanks.
So remember this the next time you're in a job interview. If it feels like it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, it probably is. That was a big takeaway for me from my conversation with Michelle. And to put it in another way, trust your gut, listen to your instincts. And remember, you're being interviewed, but you're not only selling yourself, you're a buyer as well. So don't be shy about asking your own questions. But you do need to be ready for the questions that you'll get from the interviewers, and you will be asked behavioral interview questions. So get your copy today of our new free guide, 100 Behavioral Interview Questions You Need to Know. Go to maxlist.org/questions. Again, that URL is maxlist.org/questions. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode of Find Your Dream Job, and join us next Wednesday. Our guest expert will be Karen Wickrey. She's the author of a new book, Taking the Work Out of Networking, an introvert's guide to making connections that count. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.